to you. There, you're both presented with Christ's Lion and Praise Band, right?
Well, we actually have Nate now. Remember when you stand up and show him your shirt? Went and had a shirt made special for her. We went to Creation Fest.
The name is J2O, like a symbol for water. But with the J, because Jesus provides the living water.
So without further ado, I give you
J2O.
We're all looking for love and meaning in our lives.
hometown for anyone who sticks around. You're either lost or you're found. There's not much in between. When I first heard this song, I was struck by just how close to home it is to this area. I'm sure Tim McGraw was thinking about small town America when he wrote this. But no, I was thinking about it. I grew up around here and I stuck around. And until relatively recently, I was lost. But what about it? Is it only small town America? What about those who don't stick around? Are they either lost or found too? I think Tim was half right. You are either lost or found. But not just those who stick around. It's true for everyone. So what does this mean, being lost or being found? How do you know if you're lost or found? Let's take a look at another set of the verses in Tim's song. Everybody just wants to get high, sit and watch the perfect world go by. We're all looking for love and meaning in our lives. We follow the roads that lead us, the drugs or Jesus. The key to whether we're lost or found is somewhere in these verses. Are we lost if we want to get high? Well, the definition of getting high, one of the definitions, is to achieve excitement or euphoria. We all want to get high in the sense that we all want to feel good. Are we lost if we're searching for love and meaning in our lives? I think we all are looking for love and meaning in our lives. Whether we find it or not, that might have something to do with it. And whether we find it or not does depend on one thing. What road do we follow? Do we follow the road to drugs? Or do we follow the road to Jesus? It's in the road we are on that determines if we are lost or found. In our scripture lesson from Matthew today, Jesus warned us to enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. The road to drugs is a wide road that leads us to excitement and euphoria through worldly pursuits and ambitions. Do we get our high from drugs, fast and exotic cars, gambling, alcohol, video games, music, or cheesy? The point is, if what makes us high, what makes us happy, what floats our boat is not our relationship with Jesus, I'm afraid we're on the wide road to drugs. I know it's not an easy thing to hear if you're in that situation. But scripture is quite clear on this. There's only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ, the narrow gate. And I've heard it said before, you can go to heaven God's way, or you can go to hell any way you want. We're going to take a look today at some of the different ways that we can become lost. Maybe if we can recognize when we're at risk of being lost, we can get ourselves found. Or maybe we can help others to get found. And to do that, we're going to Luke 15 for three parables from Jesus on the subject. First, let's start with the parable of the lost sheep. In these verses, tax collectors and other sinners, boy, they really didn't like tax collectors back then, did they? Anyway, tax collectors and other sinners were gathered around Jesus listening to him. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law started grumbling about how Jesus was welcoming these sinners and eating with them. So Jesus told them a parable about a lost sheep. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, the main point of this parable is that God seeks out lost sinners and rejoices when they are found because they were lost. There's no need or less need to rejoice over the 99 who were already found because they weren't at risk at the time. But the point I want to cover with you today is the way in which the sheep was lost in the first place. You see, the sheep got lost by just wandering away. Just meandering along, eating grass, thinking about, well, probably more grass. And before he knew it, he was lost. Lost and all alone in the wilderness. Wolves probably catching his scent, getting close, moving in. His very existence at risk. Because he has unknowingly wandered away from the protection of the shepherd. This can happen to us too. In fact, it's the number one way that a certain segment of the population goes from a commitment to Christ and a heavy involvement in the church to apathetic, non-church-going, lost sheep. Can you guess what segment that is? According to the Barna Group, 61% of today's young adults who had been active in church at one point during their teen years are now no longer attending church, reading the Bible, or praying. Only 20% have maintained their high school level of spiritual activity. Yeah, I'm talking to you guys now. We are most at risk to get lost by wandering away from the narrow road when we move from high school life to young adulthood. Whether it's on to college, trade school, military, or work, we usually leave the safe, supportive environment of family, church, and youth group and head out into the world. It's here that we are bombarded with conflicting and confusing messages from the world of the wide road, which can distract us with its shiny and fun toys. But now, there's no support system, no weekly sermon, no youth group lesson to remind us who we are and who we belong to. And so we leave the narrow road in droves, 60%. So what can we do about this? Maybe the best way to combat this is to prevent it from happening in the first place. As a young adult going out into the world, you need to be aware of the risk and take steps to keep it from happening to you. Wherever you go, get involved in the local Christian community. Almost all college campuses have Christian clubs these days. Many churches and college towns have young adult programs and small groups that they would just love to have you join. They're out there looking for you. In fact, there's a website, www.liveabove.com, that will help you make Christian connections wherever you go. You can find this link to the link to this site on the Christian Links page of our own church website. And nowadays, with the internet, it's so much easier to stay connected to the church back home through tools like Facebook or the church's home website. And finally, don't be afraid to contact your pastor or youth leaders back home if you need help with this. We would be so happy to help you any way we can, really. Don't be afraid to contact us. So now that you know that you are at risk for this, you can take steps to make sure it doesn't happen to you. That you don't wander away from the narrow road, distracted by the shiny and fun-looking wide road to become a lost sheep. We'll talk more about that in youth group. The next parable we're going to look at is the parable of the lost son. This is the one that you're probably most familiar with, more commonly referred to as the prodigal son. In this story, a man has two sons, and the youngest son, thinking he could do better on his own, asks for his share of the family estate and leaves home. Well, you know the story. He loses all of the money on reckless living, the road to drugs, you know. He hits the bottom of the barrel, and finally comes to his senses and goes home, begging his father for forgiveness. His father is so happy to have his son back, he throws a huge party to celebrate. In this story, the son gets himself lost by his own stubborn pride. He thinks he can do better on his own and turns his back on his father. In the same way, we can leave the narrow road and get lost by our own stubborn pride. Maybe we feel angry with God for something we expected from him. Maybe we're holding a grudge against him because we lost a job, a home, or a loved one. Or maybe we're just too proud to bow down to a king, to admit that we need Jesus. My whole life, I've tried to run, I've tried to hide. From the stained glass windows in my mind, refusing to let God's light shine, down on me, down on me. In Monty Python's movie, The Quest for the Holy Grail, King Arthur, who has seen that movie? About 50%. Alright, in the movie, King Arthur and his faithful servant Patsy are stopped at a bridge by the Black Knight, who demands that they pay a fare to cross the bridge. King Arthur explains that he is King of England and shouldn't have to pay a fare to cross the bridge, and that the Black Knight should stand aside for his king. The Black Knight, with his hands on the pommel of his huge longsword, coming to about here, standing like this, he says, heartily boasts, "I move for no man." In many ways, that's how we as Americans are raised to feel about our own freedom and liberty. We grow up with the idealism of the rugged individual, proud and independent, and free. But pride can keep us from moving aside to allow our King Jesus to enter our hearts. I know that pride was what kept me from fully accepting Christ as my King. I started out a good young Christian on the narrow road. Then as a young adult, I wandered away like a lost sheep. And when I finally sought to come back to the narrow road, I found that over the years, I had built a wall of pride between Christ and myself. For a long time, I believed in Jesus. I believed his teachings were the right way to live. And I believed others needed him and should accept him as their Savior. But I couldn't bring myself to let him in. I was like the Black Knight, refusing to stand aside for my King. Then one night, a section of that wall of pride was knocked down. And I was able to see what I needed to see. And I could finally accept Jesus as my Savior, as my King. If you're in that situation, if you're angry or holding a grudge against God, or if your pride won't let you stand aside for your King, what do you do? Well, you're here in this church today, that's good. At least you're here with other Christians staying connected. I can't tell you how you can personally overcome this sort of thing. It's probably different for everyone. I can't tell you the details of my story if you think it will help you. Just ask me sometime. But I would very much encourage you to talk to Pastor Sunny about this. She has so much more experience and wisdom to share than I do. I'm not trying to say that you're a lot older than me or anything. I'm just saying. But I do want you to know and remember this. God is patiently waiting for you to come to your senses and return to him. More than that, he is actively pursuing you and the people around you that you come in contact with every day. He loves you, and there will be much rejoicing in heaven when you are found. Finally, let's look at the parable of the lost coin, which was our scripture lesson from Luke. This parable tells the story of a woman who loses a coin and searches all over the house for it. Then when she finds it, she rejoices. In this parable, the coin is lost through no fault of its own. It didn't wander away like a lost sheep. It didn't leave the narrow roads through stubborn pride or arrogance. It was lost through no fault of its own. And this sadly, tragically happens every day when children are born into a broken world of poverty, crime, war, prostitution, and slavery. In 2005, ABC Nightline did a story called The Doctor and the Reverend, about a drug addict who had been lost and then found. The doctor was a drug dealer in the Badlands of Philly. He was called the doctor because he had been doing drugs, dealing drugs, and shooting up himself and others with heroin for 35 years. He was thrown onto the streets of Philly when he was only 13. And he had been a drug addict and pusher all those years. He was rough, tough, hard, and hostile. Then his life was changed forever. There was a young woman minister who had wanted to be a missionary to Africa. But she got married, had 5 children, and never got to Africa. So she decided to become a missionary in the Badlands of Philly instead. Her very first day, she stopped a drug addict on the street and asked him, "Who is the baddest of the bad in the Badlands?" The addict told her about the doctor and warned her not to go near him. But she went and found him anyway. She told him who she was and what she wanted to do, and how, in the spirit of Jesus Christ, she wanted to help people find a better life. He was impressed by her courage. Yeah, I'm impressed by her courage, too. So he put out an order in the Badlands that everyone was to treat her with respect and nobody was to mess with her. So she began her ministry there. And as he watched her work, and as he got to know her better, his heart began to soften. Through her, he realized that he wanted a better life, and he turned to God. He went into rehab, and he became a new man. The journalist who was interviewing the doctor asked him, what was the one factor that caused your miraculous turnaround? And he replied, Jesus Christ. The journalist said, yeah, I know, but tell me more. Aside from that, you know, what other factors were involved? And he said, there are no other factors, my friend. There is just one factor. His name is Jesus Christ. For 37 years, the doctor had been lost in drugs, lost in crime, lost in addiction, lost in the sins so common to that kind of existence. And then, out of the blue, here came God looking for him in the missionary heart of a young woman minister. He was lost, and then he was found. That's what the parable of this lost coin is all about, being sadly lost and then joyously found. And so, what can we do here in this church about these lost coins? First, we need to make sure that we don't lose any coins ourselves. Our own children should grow up being taught the love of Christ through things like regular church attendance, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and youth group. We should also model the love of Christ for our children in our own homes, too, so they will at least have a chance to stay on the narrow road and stay found. And you never know. Even if your child wanders off as a young adult, distracted by the shiny, fun world of the wide road, it's the love of Christ that you taught them in their early years that might just bring them back to Jesus. It's happened that way many a time before. Second, we have a responsibility to represent Christ to others so that we don't cause them to get lost. Every Sunday, people come to our church, and the way we treat them, the way we respond to them, the way we speak to them, determines whether or not they will ever come back. If you remember the last time I was up here, we had three core competencies to work on, right? One, what walls exist between groups in our church and how can Jesus break them down? Two, how can we promote forgiveness and patience among ourselves? And three, how can we get everyone to use their God-given abilities to build up the church? These three core competencies are key to making our church relevant to others. If we excel at these competencies both inside and outside the church, we will be attracting others to Jesus and his church. If we neglect them, we risk pushing people away to become lost coins. Finally, we can look for opportunities to reach out to lost coins when we find them. Or we can go in search of opportunities like that young woman pastor in the Badlands of Philly. There are so many ways we can help others. They range from the very dangerous missionary work to the very safe and simple act of sponsoring a child or organizations like Compassion International. Everyone has a different tolerance for adventure. And I would suggest this. Ask God what he would like you to do. Seek his guidance, pray on it, and then follow his direction. If you ask, he will tell you. You just need to listen. We've seen today that there are two roads, one wide, shiny, and seemingly fun, that leads to drugs, that leads to Satan, that leads to hell. This road is crowded with the lost, crowded. And then there's the narrow road that leads to Jesus. The narrow path may not seem shiny, may not seem fun, but it is paved with truth, love, and redemption. And there is great joy and even fun to be had on the narrow road. And it ends in eternal life. But Satan will lie to you. He will tell you that the narrow road is for fools, that the wide road is fun. Yes, the wide road might be fun for a season, but it ends in eternal separation from God. Everybody just wants to get high. Sit and watch a perfect world go by. We're all looking for love and meaning in our lives. We follow the roads that lead us, the drugs or Jesus. Oh, I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah.